Rob, apparently, even in these modern times, RSVPing back to a wedding invite, maybe next time, isn't the correct response.
I'll have the beef and the chicken.
Welcome to episode 11 of the Hoopty Duo Disney Review Show. I'm your host, Kim, and I'll be joined by my wonderful husband, Rob LeBerry.
Hey, everyone. How's it going? We've got a cool show for you today, at least from our perspective, certainly. we are one of the fortunate couples who had the opportunity to get married at Walt Disney World. And when I say that, no, I'm not talking in front of the castle where I pull up
in Cinderella's coach.
In Cinderella's coach, right? Yeah.
Okay, maybe we should have done that.
In hindsight, maybe it wasn't such a bad idea. But no, I mean, it's not, we did not have what you would consider to be your run-of-the-mill expected Disney wedding. We had kind of our own riff on a little bit of a beach wedding. And I think Kim wants to walk us through that. So I'm looking forward to today's show. And hopefully you guys get a chance to learn a little something from our story. And I should preface this before we even get into it by pointing out the fact that things have changed since 2016 when we got married down there. And this is not necessarily indicative of what you can expect if you were to go through Disney fairy tale weddings at this point in time. But with that being said, you know, that all that information is out there. You can find that. And it changes so quickly, you know, as soon as you put it down in a podcast, it is no longer valid anymore.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Disney just recently revamped their entire weddings program. It used to be packages. You would purchase a package and you had a minimum. Now everything is based upon your venue location, your reception location, and the minimums that are involved in you using that location. So yeah, they have completely changed everything. They've grandfathered in all the brides from all over the world that have signed contracts and have had their weddings delayed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But at this point, it's all brand new. And so, yeah, it's a totally different game there. But yeah, so we're going to talk about our June 2016 Walt Disney World wedding. And I think we're going to start off, Rob, by talking about how we decided on a Walt Disney World destination wedding. I think we were engaged for a very long time. We intentionally did that. And we really spent a lot of time deciding what we wanted to do. We've talked in previous episodes about the fact that we live in Michigan and Rob is from Michigan and his family is all here. But I'm from California and all my family was in California. So we basically kind of decided that we were going to make everybody travel, including us, that everybody was going to travel. And we decided that, you know, we wanted to do a destination wedding and we considered a few locations. But in the end, we had had such an amazing time on a trip that we had taken to Walt Disney World. And the wheels started spinning and we kind of got some ideas that maybe this would be the perfect location to ever have everybody come from wherever they were in the country to come down and see us get married there.
I will interject real quick that, you know, we didn't have 100 people coming for this wedding. We had a group of about 20 that we were looking at, just close family members.
We both have a very small family.
Right.
So we really do. So yeah, so it was not going to be, you know, 100 people, 70 people.
You can certainly do that though.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they will accommodate your group, no problem. So, you know, we kind of realized that we wanted, you know, we decided that we liked Walt Disney World and this was the place that we wanted to get married. And then we kind of settled on kind of a casual beach theme with maybe some strategic elements of Disney and Star Wars in there. And so, like we said, you know, at the time there were wedding packages and we did something that was basically a wishes light wedding. And it was something special that was actually going on during that time frame. Like we said, everything is now a la carte. You choose your wedding ceremony location and your reception location, and you have minimums that you have to meet.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the interesting thing was back when we did it, you could certainly, you know, cater it so that you did not have a super expensive wedding. I thought ours was very reasonable considering the fact that we were doing it at Walt Disney World. And, you know, even with that, at the time, you know, you could get room blocks set up at multiple resorts where you would get a discount for yourself and your wedding guests. I would suspect that is probably still the case. You know, obviously you'd have to look into what the current landscape is. I'm sure that they're on the overload right now with all the canceled weddings last year, but there were a lot of nice little perks at the time that we went and got married at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. And when we reached out to Fairy Tale Weddings, we kind of had a general idea of what we wanted to do, but they sent us a contract and we signed that contract. And that was really going to be the point where we start making all those important decisions. And like you had mentioned, we were given a room block coordinator and we were able to choose, I believe it was three resorts that our guests would get really incredible rates on. So we chose something in each category.
I actually have all the information here. Actually, we picked four resorts. So we had the Beach Club Resort, we had the Boardwalk Inn, we had Port Orleans Resort, Riverside, and Port Orleans French Quarter. So those were the four resorts that we had set things up with.
So it wasn't Art of Animation, which is where your brother and his family stayed, but they were able to let the reservation clerk know that it was their first trip down. So they actually got a discount anyway, but there were no room block discounts available for Art of Animation at that
point. Yeah, they were doing no discounts at all for Art of Animation. I think they got a 5% discount for it being their first visit. So they weren't expecting anything, so they were happy with that. But it was about 40% room discount at the Beach Club, which was amazing.
Right. We actually had people who changed their reservation to the Beach Club once they found out the rate that they could get, because they had a little bit of sticker shock with that rack rate, which we all do. And we've talked about this in previous episodes when we talked about Beach Club, Yacht and Beach Club, about the rate we got. And I think it was somewhere around 265-ish that we got per night, which is a bargain for the Beach Club in the summer in June, right?
Right. Interestingly enough, the way it turned out, my parents were staying down there in their RV. Right. So they were at Fort Wilderness. My brother and his family were over at Art of Animation. And most of your family ended up getting in the Beach Club.
Right.
Since you were staying there. And it was a rare opportunity for them to get to visit with you.
Right. And Disney often talks about that they actually have a high rate of acceptance to invitations. When you be prepared that when you send invites to your guests or save the dates that you are having a Walt Disney World wedding, they estimate about 80% of guests, which is above the normal.
Right.
So, everybody that we invited attended, other than my brother, who was getting ready to have his first grandchild.
Yes.
So he was not going to make the trip from California, completely understandable. But so we had absolutely a lot of positive response, and we certainly gave our family a lot of leeway. I think we gave them at least 2 years, so you know, people are going to need to use vacation time. It is an expense for your guests to come. So giving them as much lead time as possible ahead of the event is absolutely the way to go. And it's, you know, you want to be courteous of your guests. And so, yeah, we gave everybody a 2-year notice. Yeah. Apparently we weren't like, you know, dying to run down the aisle again. But we wanted this. This was something that was important to us. We thought it would be a fun event. And as we talked about, you know, because we were from different states, our families were meeting at this point for the first time.
Well, and I mean, it doesn't hurt that you come down for the wedding, but you can also leverage it as, you know, the beginning of a family vacation, which is what nearly all of our guests had done. You know, they did spend a chunk of time after the wedding. Most of them stayed for the better part of at least a week and enjoyed a little Disney World vacation for them and their families.
Right. And so when you sign your contract, we got a coordinator and an assistant coordinator. We were put in touch with a floral and decor person. We had a photographer and a photographer's assistant as well. And they provide you a lot of information. We were given a list of officiants that typically will do weddings on Walt Disney World property. I mean, I was given lists of people who do hair and makeup, dress steamers and suit steamers. We were given a basically a BEO to make decisions with regard to our food and beverage. That is the banquet event order. That is the key. That is the key document in almost every, especially with regard to the reception, where you have a lot of things that you are providing to your guests. The BEO is really important.
I guarantee you that's still in place today, because it's the one document that if it's not on that, and you sign it, you're not getting it.
Right. And, you know, we had decisions to make, like food and beverage and entertainment and music and transportation, as well as I think an extra thing that we hadn't really realized, but we were charged for a guide. It was a person who would assist our guests from moving from point A to point B. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I can't remember what they called this person, but they were basically a guest guide. They stayed with the guests.
Right.
You know, so throughout the day. So it was, that was really nice. I actually thought that was a bargain. But we decided to keep all the wedding events basically to a 24-hour period of time. We arrived 2 days prior to our ceremony. That was on June 14th. During this time, this was an interesting time in Orlando. All eyes in the country and even in the world were on Orlando during this period of time. On June 10th, the voice singer Christina Grimmie was shot and killed during an after-concert meet and greet with her fans. 2 days later, it was the Pulse nightclub shooting, which killed, unfortunately, 53 people. And then on June 14th, the day that we arrived down to Walt Disney World for our wedding, 2-year-old Lane Graves was snatched by an alligator at the Grand Floridian Resort. So the day we arrived on the 14th, Bay Lake was closed to Magic Kingdom boat traffic as they were searching, you know, for this child. And at that point, they indicated that they thought that it was basically a recovery operation. And they did, unfortunately, locate the child. But what was interesting was we were heading to Orlando. Mm. We had people coming from around the country to descend on Orlando for our wedding. And you couldn't turn on the television without the news talking about Orlando. So there was a lot going on during that time. So the evening before our wedding, everyone met at the Cruise Cup Lounge in the Yacht Club.
Which I wish was open.
I know. We love this place. So we decided we would have everybody meet up there for some drinks and some appetizers. Again, it was a good opportunity, relaxed environment for the families to meet for the first time. And as everybody kind of congregated, we then had a van transport everybody over to Disney's Polynesian Village Resort for a group dinner at Ohana.
Yeah. One of the things they will tell you, I recall from our Ohana reservation, was the fact that because we had a group of 18 people, I think, going to dinner that night, they couldn't guarantee that we were all going to be seated at one table, but they said they thought they should be able to get us at a couple adjoining tables. And that's basically what happened. The other thing that I will point out, both for the Cruise Cup Lounge as well as Ohana, is we were able to take advantage of tables in Wonderland. And it's only available to a specific subset of people, typically Florida residents, Disney annual pass holders, people who fall into one of those two categories. But one thing that that program did offer at the time was if you got the single card, you could take up to 10 people on one check and get that discount of 20% for food and alcohol. But they also had an additional card that you could purchase for like another $50 or $75, and that would let you up it to 20 people. So we were able to get tables in Wonderland that would cover up to 20 people. And interestingly enough, the day that we were doing our dinner at Ohana, it was supposedly a blackout date on the Tables in Wonderland calendar, but our server was kind enough to run it anyway just to see if it would go through, and it did. So we got 20% off a food bill of about $1,000.
That was an amazing savings. Yeah, that was the smartest thing that we really did on this trip, was to get the both tables
in Wonderland. Other than the wedding.
Exactly. But yeah, so we had an amazing dinner with our family at Ohana. What a perfect place to take your family, especially people who hadn't been there before. It's just, it's classic Disney, being over at the Polynesian Village Resort. It was just a wonderful experience. Well, it
didn't hurt that you bought everyone Lapu-Lapus either.
Oh, we did. Oh, yeah. I had to go to the bartender ahead of time and let him know, because I think of the drinkers we had, I think I ordered 9 Lapu-Lapus.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So I figured he was going to be coring out a lot of pineapples. He better have some lead time. So I let him know we were coming, mm-hmm. and they were ready. But so once our dinner was completed, we had our transportation. We had a van that whoever didn't have a car, we would go ahead and transport them back. And at that point, I went and took Briggs to go get some sleep because, as we've talked about before, Disney weddings are typically in the morning. So we headed back to get some sleep while Rob and anybody else who was interested, including girls, headed over to the ESPN Club for Rob's Stash Bash.
Yeah, it was funny. We had set this up ahead of time, put in a reservation, talked to the manager, made sure there was going to be a table available. But when we actually went, there was barely anyone there, which was fairly unusual at the time. But, you know, it was a good place to just get a chance to hang out, have a couple of drinks. And then after we got done there, I shipped Kim's oldest son, Kyle, and his girlfriend at the time back to their hotel via an Uber. And we just went back to the hotel and got some rest.
Yeah. I figured you weren't ready to go to bed. You're kind of a late night guy. So we had something planned for him. But now I'm really going to get into how our day ran. Mm-hmm. It was a very early morning, especially for me. I had hair and makeup booked, I think, around 4:30 a.m., mm-hmm. And the beach club was nice. They provided a vacant room for me to get my hair and makeup done. So I didn't disturb anybody in my room so you guys could get your beauty rest. So, and then we had a car service. That's one of the transportation, aside from the van to Ohana, is we booked car service. And so what we had was basically sedan service. Took us over to the boardwalk. That's where we took our photos. Our floral was delivered there. I had this beautiful dip-dyed carnation bouquet, and Rob had a Star Wars boutonniere. I think we had had some single stems for our moms as well. Mm-hmm. So they brought the floral. We started with photos, and then at that point, we started sort of a staged arrival of our guests. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying that when we planned our wedding, we wanted the wedding that we wanted to be invited to. What is the kind of wedding that we wish we were guests to? And one of them was that nobody likes sitting around waiting for the bride and groom to get their photos taken. So we made sure that we were there first, and then we had the car service go and get people and bring them to us, to the Boardwalk Inn, to get photos taken as we needed them. So obviously, our kids were the first ones that were brought over. Mm-hmm. Our three sons plus a girlfriend was brought over. Then we had our parents brought over, right, by car service. So and then followed by our brothers and sisters and their families.
Right.
So we didn't have a bunch of people sitting around waiting for all these photos to be taken. We kind of staged the arrival of all of our guests. Okay, and then once we were done with all our photos, the guests were escorted over to Seabreeze Point Pavilion, which was where we got married. It's an outdoor pavilion slash, gazebo.
Yeah, it's very just large. A very simple gazebo. It's kind of there, if you're familiar with the boardwalk area and that area around Crescent Lake, that it's right near that hill that leads up from the beach club and then descends down to the back entrance of the International Gateway of Epcot.
Yeah, it was a beautiful location. We absolutely had chosen the perfect spot. We had a break on weather, even though it was mid-June.
Huge.
It was not as hot as it normally is. So that
was 84 with not terrible humidity and a nice breeze.
Oh, we had a lovely breeze. And we had already, again, we had planned a casual wedding. So we had our guests basically dressed fairly casual. We were as well. I wore a long Tommy Bahama maxi dress. Yeah. You wore a Tommy Bahama linen shirt with some linen pants.
Yep.
You know, we had everybody was sort of elegantly summer casual, I guess you would say. The most overdressed dress person was our officiant who was wearing a tuxedo, which was hilarious because he really stood out. But I thought that was really funny. So then Rob and I came out to the site and we had the ceremony, which moved along fairly quickly because we really didn't want a long ceremony. But that was just wonderful. And then we posed for some photos at the ceremony site with our guests. And then we were whisked away to the second location of our wedding day, which was a ballroom or conference room in Disney's Boardwalk Inn. And that is where we had set up a surprise meet and greet. Rob, do you want to tell everybody about that?
Yeah, we wanted to have some at least one Star Wars element, and it turned out to be more than that. But we had looked into the opportunity of bringing the 501st in to do a character meet and greet with our guests. And it was really an interesting time. Back in 2016, it was not that long after Lucasfilm had been purchased by Disney. And they were still trying to sort out, I think, a lot of the legal issues. So what was allowed was changing day to day. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's still the case. I've always told people, when it comes to Star Wars, you just kind of have to, you know, talk to different people and get the input that they can give you because it changes so quickly. But I worked with members of the Florida Garrison, the Mikaze Squad, and they were able to, once we provided them with the date and time and the location where they were to show up, between working with them and working with our wedding coordinator, we were able to determine what locations were going to be allowed. They were able to set up a location for the members of the 501st to show up and get changed into their costumes. They had to provide them with some ice water for drinking to kind of keep them cool, even though it was inside. And then, as Kim said, you know, we were whisked away by our wedding coordinator and we were able to get to the room where they were going to be meeting and greeting ahead of time so that we could, you know, say hello, thank them for coming. And then our guests were brought over probably about 10 minutes later. So we were there with the photographer to actually capture them coming into the room, which was a complete surprise for them, complete and utter shock, and probably one of the most fun events we had as part of the whole wedding.
Right. And with our photographers, we had amazing pictures with you and I. And then when our guests showed up, we got some surprise photos as people were coming in.
Yep.
I think most people thought that they were entering. This was our reception site. It was a banquet room. Yep. I think that's what they were expecting. But when they opened up the door, there was a Darth Vader, a Stormtrooper, and Boba Fett.
Yeah. And I mean, the costumes were amazing. Certainly to be inducted into the 501st, you have to meet certain requirements, but these characters all had their costumes were completely upgraded, LED readouts, you know, voice changers, things like that. And they were excellent with our guests. We had a lot of fun.
Oh, we have great pictures from that.
Yep.
Yeah. And again, we're gonna remind everybody at the end of this, but we do have a lot of these pictures up on Pinterest on the JTA podcast. True. Pinterest board. So yeah, you can check out some of those photos. But yeah, so I mean, we talked about how we had a coordinator and an assistant coordinator.
Right.
And that was really because at this point, our guests were still getting photos and kind of interacting with the characters. And we were whisked off to our reception site, which was at the attic. And the attic is an event space. It's a beautiful event space that is above Jelly Roll's Dueling Piano Bar. Mm-hmm. There's a balcony, and then the entire wall is just windows that overlook Crescent Lake. It was incredibly beautiful. And so we were able to kind of get those first reactions of our reception, everything that had been set up. It was just absolutely stunning. They did an amazing job. I think all day long, this was the spot where there was one boo-boo, and that's because we were there first, mm-hmm. and we were looking through. We realized that one place card was in the wrong place.
That's
and
right.
That was it. That's the only thing that Disney did not get right was one place card, and I was able to just go, oops, and I swapped them, and everything was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, we should point out that, you know, we did this wedding in the morning. I think it was a 10 a.m. wedding, immediately followed by our brunch reception, which is what we ended up doing. And certainly, you know, I would expect that's still going to be the case with Disney World, is that if you're looking for a less expensive way to do those early in the day ceremonies and do brunch instead of a dinner, you're going to be looking at a lower total bill. And for our guess it was perfect because we were going to have a farewell dinner later that evening at the Hoop-Dee-Doo review show. And, you know, to be able to get them a late breakfast, essentially, brunch, whatever you want to call it, and then, you know, spin them free for 3 or 4 hours in case they wanted to do a park or the pool or whatever the case may be, worked out really well.
Right. So like Rob said, we did a breakfast buffet. Our receptionist technically started around 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. Our menu was amazing. We had fresh fruit with honey yogurt dip. We had requested the breakfast pizza from Trails Inn Restaurant.
Yep.
We had scrambled eggs and hash browns, hardwood smoked bacon, southern biscuits and gravy. That mm-hmm. was one of my son's necessities,
yes.
right? We had brioche French toast with caramelized bananas Foster and whipped cream. We also had a Mickey waffle bar. We had croissants and a variety of donut holes, juices, coffee, bottled water, iced tea, and what I really wanted, my big request, was the mimosa bar.
Yeah, that was, I mean, and the way they set it up was gorgeous as well. Fortunately, we didn't have any of the little kids trying to access the mimosa bar, but they took huge advantage of the hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah, there was hot chocolate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had two wedding cakes. We had a two-tier wedding cake. This was red velvet with cream cheese frosting. Amazing, mm-hmm. right? And then we had a groom's cake, which was a stormtrooper helmet. And this was marble cake with a Tanzanian chocolate filling.
Yep.
Delicious. And then we had some Darth Vader cupcakes, which I think they were chocolate because we didn't get any.
Yeah, they were chocolate peanut butter. They're the Darth Vader cupcakes that you can get over at Hollywood Studios. I'm sure they still got them around property. We did not get to try any of those either. Typical wedding day. You kind of, you're so busy with everything that you don't sample all the food that's there to be enjoyed, but it was still, we were full and pleasantly so.
Oh, and I think all our guests were, again, like I said, we were reiterating that we wanted to throw a wedding that we wanted to be invited to.
Right.
So we also had music at our reception, and we had an acoustic guitar player, and he played Disney songs.
Yep. I thought that worked out really well. It was definitely loud enough for you to enjoy, but it was still kind of in the background, so it didn't interfere with anyone's conversation. And it was just really a fun way to celebrate the wedding and still have that Disney element to it.
Yeah, and it felt a little bit more casual than having, I think we could have had violins or we could have had a harp, which we're not really those people. Mm-hmm. So an acoustic guitar player sitting there playing Disney songs was just absolutely the perfect music for us to have at a breakfast brunch.
Yeah.
And then once our reception was over, we had the car service start to return people back to their resorts.
Yep.
And that's when we decided that we were going to take a break. We were going to break for the afternoon. So I went back and took a nap because I was exhausted.
And I made my big mistake of the trip, which was to think that I could take Kim's youngest, Derek, and then my son Briggs over to Hollywood Studios to enjoy some of the park for a little while before dinner. And I am reminded to this day by my son that he was cranky because I didn't make him take a nap.
Yeah, kids are good at doing that. But yeah, so, and then when the evening came around, we had a goodbye dinner.
Yep.
And we've talked about this before, I think, in our inaugural episode when we talked about the Hoop-Dee-Doo.
Right.
We had everybody come to the Hoop-Dee-Doo review, and that was our goodbye dinner. And all of this encompassed a little over 24 hours, and then we left all our guests free to enjoy a vacation, which, as you had talked about, most people did. Most people stayed for at least a week, had an amazing, you know, vacation. And, you know, we did things with each side of the family. You know, we had a birthday party and a dinner with your parents and that type of thing. So we saw the rest of the family during that trip. It's not like we disappeared or anything, but it was absolutely just the perfect trip. And one of the things that we also did was, as part of the package that we had at that point, was we actually decided to purchase the rights to all of our photos.
Right.
And when we were having our photos taken, we made sure that our photographer or the photographer's assistant approached each of our family members and allowed them to take a family photo or a couple photo, whatever it was, for them so that they would have this as a memento of our wedding. Right. And so we made sure that everybody got copies of their photos, and Disney put together a beautiful photo album for us.
Sorry, the dog was snoring in the background. I don't know if anyone could hear that.
I'm not going to take it personal. So, but do you want to talk about one of the big perks? And I think we've mentioned it in prior episodes, one of the big perks of this wedding package that we had at the time.
Yeah, I mean, Disney, I think down through the years has done different incentives or different gifts that they give to the couples that get married through Disney fairy tale weddings. And when we got married, it was right at the tail end of when they were giving a year annual pass for both the bride and the groom. I think we had to be one of the last weddings that they did this for, because I think it was a week or two after our wedding that I had seen that they had changed it and they were giving out magic bands that had bride and groom on them. And I think not long after that, they kind of went to not really doing much of anything, no. I'm sure due to the popularity. So, you know, we were very fortunate. We've been annual pass holders on and off, more on than off, certainly since that wedding. And I think it was all because they hooked us with those initial quote unquote free annual passes.
Right. And what we decided to do was to go back a few months later for our honeymoon. So we had an incredible trip. I think it was fall.
Yep.
This was a June wedding. We went back in fall and we had an amazing trip, and we've had amazing trips since then. So Rob, would we do it again? Would you recommend people get married at Walt Disney World?
And I think, you know, for us, it definitely, I don't think we're going to get married again, but, you know, if we do a vow renewal or something like that, I could see doing the Walt Disney World. Of course, it always comes down to, you know, what makes sense for whatever your occasion's going to be. If you're doing a wedding, if you're doing a vow renewal ceremony, how many family members you're going to have, what you want to spend. They're all factors. And certainly for us, the annual passes, we were getting value out of doing the wedding there, even without those. That just kind of was the icing on the cake. But you know, they are so flexible in terms of having so many different types of weddings that you can have. I think it's interesting all the locations they've opened up since we got married.
Yeah, it's completely different, but not Galaxy's Edge.
No, not Galaxy's Edge. So basically, to answer your question, yeah, if they don't open up Galaxy's Edge, it'll never happen again.
Yeah, this was an amazing event. I can't say enough about Disney fairy tale weddings. They handled everything so professionally. They had everything down to a T. There was really no issues with having to worry about whether this small detail or to fret about something, you know, which brides tend to do. But no, I didn't have a worry or a care in the world. This was the most relaxing and fun, you know, wedding that I'd ever been to, and it was mine. So it was just amazing. They did a fantastic job, everything from the food to the decorating to coordinating everything and really bringing our vision to life for us and our guests. And I couldn't recommend enough that if you are having an event, any kind of event, any excuse, absolutely contact Disney fairy tale weddings. They do vow renewals. They do engagements, weddings, receptions. If you have a religion and you need to get married in at a church offsite, you can do that. But you can still come onto property and have your reception. They're accommodating for everybody. So absolutely, would we recommend it? Yeah.
If they open Galaxy's Edge,
right. Well, that would be a vow renewal. Although I tell Rob all the time, I don't need a vow renewal. It took the right first time.
Right. That's a good sign.
You're very memorable, Rob. It took.
So, yeah. So that, I think that's going to wrap it for us for this week. Certainly, I hope that you took something away from hearing a little bit about our wedding at Walt Disney World. And if you're interested in doing a wedding at Walt Disney World. Check out Disney Fairy Tale Weddings. They will give you all the information that you need to get started planning. And it's just really a matter of what's going to work best for you and if they can meet your needs within the price range you're looking for. So we are going to be coming up here at the beginning of June. We're going to be back down at Walt Disney World and Universal Orlando. Mm-hmm. So Kim, I don't know if you have any plans for any shows prior to that.
Our next show is going to be after our trip. We're less than 30 days away from our next trip, and we have a lot to do before that. Yes. And so we're going to be at Walt Disney World. We're going to be over at Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure, as well as Volcano Bay. And we've got plans with friends. So we have a lot of new content that's going to be coming up and a lot of things to talk about. So that's what we will be talking about in our next episode.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a couple of new resorts that we're going to be staying at that we have not stayed at before. Wyndham Bonnet Creek. Timeshare that we have not stayed at. This was a reservation we had from 2 years ago that got pushed back due to COVID. So
yeah, this is on Disney property.
Yeah, yep. And this is on Disney property, but it's not a Disney owned and operated hotel. And then over at Universal, we're actually going to stay on property at Universal at Portofino Bay, which is one of Kim's bucket list hotels that she wanted to stay at. So looking forward to talking about those as well. Mm-hmm. So that's going to wrap it for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can find us on Twitter at HoopDeeDuo. You can find the Pinterest site that Kim mentioned earlier out on Pinterest under at JTA Podcast. There is a subboard for our HoopDeeDuo photos, and our wedding photos are certainly out there as well. And you can also reach out to us to discuss anything regarding this episode or any other Disney topics at HoopDeeDuo@gmail.com. So I think that will do it. Kim, do you have any famous last words for our guests?
Get married at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, you won't regret it.
Bye, everybody. Have a good week.